welcome to hour number two on a Monday with hashtag Daily K's host, Peter B. Tired of just scratching the surface of career? Want to get deep in the weeds?
Me and Pete are going to unpack everything about Korea through its history, its people, its music, and its culture on
Now and Then. And the me is David. A Monday morning here in Seoul, South Korea. It's already the beginning of June. David's in the studio to talk to us about culture today. Good morning, David.
Good morning, mate. I'm feeling good. It's June. It's summertime. Let's get it on.
Are you a summer guy?
Yeah, man. Yeah. I'm a summertime. Let's get in the short sleeve t-shirts. Let's get in the tank tops. Let's get by the pool. Crop tops and bikinis also welcome. Cold beverages, please.
That's what I want. I don't like this version of the summer, though, when you're stuck in Seoul on your daily commute to the office and you're in a suit or something like that due to work regulations. This is me back in 2008 when I was working in an office. It's like, this is the worst time to be in Seoul. Like in the bus when it's 32 degrees outside, packed. I was like, no, get me to wintertime any day of the week.
It's almost like the environment matters, isn't it, Pete?
Yes, unfortunately it does, doesn't it? When I came here as a kid, I don't know, I knew it was hot in the summer because I'd always come, British summer holidays are the long 6 weeks. I'd come with my mum. We'd sit through a bit of Changmachol, the rainy season, get through that. And it would be hot, but I wouldn't be like grumpy about it like I am as an adult. Maybe it's because it was less hot due to climate change, but I think it's more because I was just on holiday.
Yeah.
And I was just going to the Kegoks, the mountain streams and the beaches.
Yeah.
And like you said, summertime like that, that's bring it on for sure. But as an adult commuting in the city, I'm not loving it. I wouldn't say it's my favourite.
Do you take public transport, Pete?
Or never.
Yeah, exactly. You're just making it up, aren't you?
No, but
you're trying
still,
to be one
I'm
of the people.
I'm going to complain. I don't like it when my car gets too hot sitting in the sunshine. You know, I've got one of these cars, which now in Korea is perhaps old and outdated. Because the newer cars, you can remotely turn on the ignition and it will air condition it like a couple of minutes, right?
Yeah.
I don't have one of those, so I am going to complain. And my sunroof is broken, so it doesn't have a cover on the glass roof. It's like a greenhouse.
Yeah.
So if I park in non-underground parking, yes, this is like problems of the first world, I know. It gets so hot in there and I'm like, I don't like this. I'm sorry, I'm just complaining.
Listeners will find out how out of touch Pete is with the real world next week by asking him how much a pint of milk costs in the supermarket. And I bet he's got no idea how much milk costs.
Do you know, I can tell you, I don't know what a pint is though, so I'm so out of date with that. But the 1 litre milk that we buy in cartons is 2,000 won because I went the other day to buy it for the first time in ages. And I noticed that only the full fat milk was more expensive than all the other like low fat versions you can get. I don't know why. Actually.
Paying for those calories.
Maybe you
but
are.
That's because the cow has to work harder to push it out. It's like,
he's pushing it out. Low fat,
let me just say one thing about the summer is that since I've got older and since I've lost a bit of weight, I don't sweat as much. And if I drink like a nice Americano or something, I get a bit cold.
Really? In the summertime?
Yeah. It's getting to that stage. Wow. You know when old people, they need to put like a little blanket on or they're a bit chilly? I'm slowly, like my wife and my sister, they look at me and they're like, oh my God, David, you're old.
Is that inside in the air conditioning you're talking about or even outside?
Well, generally inside in air conditionings.
Yeah, me too.
When I was big and drinking a lot, the summer used to hit me hard. You know, it would be coming out. But I'm dealing with it now. I'm healthier. I think your health plays a big role in it.
For sure. I still, like, from 2 or 3 years ago, I started telling the listeners, I was shocked that even in the summer months, I still prefer a hot Americano because if you're drinking it in the cafe, it is freezing cold. So I want something to warm me up.
We're going to talk about iced Americanos today.
Ooh.
And why Koreans drink so many of them. Because they do, don't they?
They're known. It must be the overwhelming order at a cafe. The majority must be iced Americanos, for sure. Yeah.
And we're going to talk about where that culture comes from today. That's our goal.
Do you have anything to say on the hashtag environment or Hwanggyeong? We were talking about plogging and picking up for the environment. You live out in the sticks, so to speak, David. So is that a big part of your life? hoping that the environment is clean and tidy and whatnot.
I like being able to see the horizon. I like being able to see mountains.
Yeah.
I like not... There's a certain feeling you get being in a city with all the concrete around you, mm-hmm. and it gets a little bit...
Yeah.
It gets a little bit suffocating or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so environment is important to me. And I think at least, you know, once a week, it's important for people to get out into the mountains or go hiking or do something, you know, to get out of this environment, because we didn't evolve for these environments particularly. So environment is important. We don't all have those luxuries. However, but listeners, if you can, nature.
Yeah. Yeah, get out into your local park at least. And here in Seoul, you know, we're getting better and better all the time. When I was younger, I used to think there's a real lack of green in the city of Seoul.
Yes.
But we've really kind of pushed a lot of local parks. Seoul Soup is really nice as well.
That's right.
It's not really a forest, but it's a nice big park.
It's not bad, yeah.
And they've got deer and everything. Get out to maybe the Hangang River as well.
Yes.
Just take it all in. Lovely nature. Today's topic, perfect for Daily K, because we're all about Korean culture, is what we say. How is culture made?
And if you're interested, listeners, you'll be able to find this online. This was an article that I wrote titled, or the premise of it and the title as well, is Korean culture as a solution, not a problem.
Oh.
Now, let's take, for example, this first idea. You're going to hear a lot about Korea having the lowest birth rate in the world. Have you heard about that before, Pete?
For sure. Definitely talked about often here in Korea. Every year it seems to break its own record for being lower and lower, which is a bit of a worry, to be honest.
But it's talked about so much, and government agencies and ministries, regional bodies, they've been spending billions trying to rectify this situation, but to no avail. Because domestically and internationally, people see this emergent culture, this low birth rate, which is Korean people not getting married, not having children, people see that as a problem that needs to be solved.
Sure.
I'm here to give you a new perspective and say, what if it's not a problem? What if you've got it twisted? What if the low birth rate, rather than being a problem, is in fact a solution?
I guess then we'd have to also think to what problem as well.
Exactly.
Wow. Yeah, because, you know, the kind of old trope from governments is you've got to have a young population to pay for your old aging population. Right. And so the double whammy here is that people are living longer, so the old population is increasing anyway. So if the birth rate decreases as opposed to increase, you're in big trouble. That's what they keep telling us.
Exactly. Right? The country might go extinct, and who's going to pay for our pensions, and what's going to happen, and what about all the jong?
Yeah.
Now, what we're trying to do here, Pete, we're trying to do something incredibly difficult, which is we're trying to explain human behavior. We're trying to explain, why aren't people having kids? Why do people drink ice Americanos in winter? Why do they follow certain religions like Buddhism we did last week? Why do they wear headscarves in Southeast Asia? Why do people bow? Why do people use chopsticks? Why do they live in apartments? Why do people do the things they do? We're trying to explain human behavior here. It's not easy, but I'm going to try to take you through some ways of that this morning.
I do spend a bit of time thinking about that, right?
Yeah.
You know, human behavior, trends, you know, talking about a group of people. You've always got to have the caveat, you know, everyone's an individual, blah, blah, blah. And sometimes I do stumble across thinking, it's a bit random, really. Like me as well. Like in my decisions I do. There's nothing I can pinpoint in my brain that made me come to that choice or that behavior. It's just random. But, you know, when you look at like the overarching kind of trends and patterns, that's always so interesting to me.
There are trends that certain people in society do. So you might find that, you know, everybody, not everybody, but a large percentage of people in their 20s are doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And a large percentage of men are doing this.
Yeah.
And a large percent of poor women are doing this. There are trends, and these trends over time become cultures. They become embedded human behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Pete, there are normally three sources of human behavior.
Okay.
So some of what we do is based on human nature. Some of what we do is based on our need to survive and reproduce, and we need to eat, we need to sleep, we need to drink. This is just human nature.
Sure.
People all over the world do these things.
Okay.
Some of the things we do are based on culture. So because you're a man, or because you're a British man, because you're a Korean man, you do certain things such as bow and use chopsticks rather than eat with your hands and kiss people on the cheeks.
Interesting.
That's determined by culture.
Okay.
And the final one is determined by your individual personality, who you are. So there are three sources that can explain your behavior. Now, this next sentence is a little bit difficult, but I want to stay on it just for a minute because it's so important. Listen to this. Every person is, in certain respects, like all other people, like some other people, and like no other people. So if you take the world first, all people are the same in some way.
Sure.
We all breathe air, for example. Yeah. We're all human beings, right? And so me, you, Pete, you're like every other human in the world. Or we could just use Korea as the part.
Sure.
Listeners, you can use Indonesia, Argentina, and where you're from. But let's take Pete in Korea. Yeah. Pete, you're like everybody else in Korea.
Okay.
And at the same time, in certain aspects, right? And at the same time, you're like some other people in Korea.
Yeah.
You do the same as them.
Sure.
And at the same time, you are like no one else in Korea. You are only you and you do your things.
No one else is living my exact life,
I suppose. So there's human nature that's informing your behavior. There's the culture in which you live. And there's also your personality. There's one, two, and three. And it's really interesting to then try to think about what is it that all Koreans do? What is it that some Koreans do? What is it that just one Korean does? So listeners, if you ever see something online on a gram or an TikTok or something, and you're like, is that real Korean culture? Ask yourself, do all Koreans do that? Do some Koreans do that? Or is it only this one Korean that does that?
Yeah, it's so interesting. And I feel we're at a point in time where a lot of like political correctness means that we can't say, or we're kind of disincentivized to say, this is what Koreans do. You know, this is a big part of Korean culture. A lot
chopsticks,
of people say
bowing, this is what Korean people do.
Yeah, and I think that's uncontroversial. But there are maybe some gray spots where it comes to certain things, certain behaviors, which maybe are not as long established, and they'll say, oh, you can't say Koreans do that. You've got to say that maybe some or a group of Koreans do that. But I think there's a lot to be gained from looking at those group trends.
Yes. Right?
And I don't ever want to get away from that. And I love the differences between cultures. I hope it never becomes this monoculture of global society where everyone's doing exactly the same thing. Boring.
And that's why today we're going to try to explain some of these, even like Ice Americano, as I mentioned, and Aegyo. I'm going to explain why and how people do Aegyo for you.
All right.
Welcome to Arirang Radio.
If you are in Jeju,
88.7 in Jeju City,
88.1 in Seogwipo City,
101.9 in the Daejeong area.
Arirang Radio.
We're back for part two now and then with David in the studio talking about culture, how it is made, what it is as well. And we heard about those three sources of behavior, one human nature, one culture, which means like some of us do that. And then the personality, which counts for what you might do uniquely or only a few people do in a country. I love that description. That's really interesting, kind of like your DNA, maybe more your environment and then your internal personality.
Absolutely. Three sources. Three is the magic number. The very famous philosophers De La Soul knew that. Let's talk about environment, because that's the hashtag of today.
Yes.
Now, different environments, Pete, they introduce different problems that humans must deal with in order to survive. Now, it's human nature to want to survive.
Of course.
And so living in the jungle provides certain challenges that living in the desert doesn't, and vice versa. So the weather will encourage the adoption of certain clothes and living arrangements.
Yeah.
The natural world encourages the consumption of certain foods.
Of course.
Likewise, living in modern Seoul today provides a host of different problems that people of the Joseon Dynasty didn't have.
That's true.
We have different problems today. Specific environments give us specific problems. Now, because we want to survive, what we do as humans is we come up with specific solutions to these problems. The hanok is a solution to a problem. The traditional Korean house is a solution to a problem.
Yeah.
Ice Americanos are a solution to a problem. The low birth rate is a solution to a problem. When these solutions are adopted and maintained over the over time, and many people start doing them, not just one person, many people, they become a culture because some people start doing it. What you want to understand about culture is, you might be hearing this for the first time, culture is a specific solution to a specific problem.
That's a definition of culture I've never heard before, but makes total sense in the way that you explain it.
Shall we play it out with Ice Americanos?
Okay, yeah.
No, let's give this
one.
What was
the problem here that Ice Americanos solved? I'm really curious about that.
20 years ago, people didn't really drink coffee.
Yeah.
It was green tea and it was this hazelnut thing that passed as coffee. But nowadays in Korea, there are coffee shops everywhere.
Absolutely.
Everybody's got a coffee on them.
Yeah.
Right? It's a big thing, isn't it? It's emerged as a culture. We cannot say that every Korean drinks it. So
no.
It's not human nature.
No.
We cannot say that just one person does it. So it's not personality. Mm-hmm. It's some, so it's culture.
Uh-huh.
Right. Now, Korean coffee culture, is it like this, Pete? Is it sitting around in a cafe with an expensive espresso with different beans and talking in a sophisticated way about existentialism? Is that Korea's coffee culture?
I would say the vast majority of coffee drinkers would say no. No, it's not like that.
It's not. It's large plastic cups with iced drinks that can be consumed on the move.
Yep.
And this is a really interesting thing. Korean people, the really popular ones these days are the value brands, like the mega ones and the compo, these things.
Huge tubs of coffee for a cheap price.
Because you get value for money.
Yeah.
Now, this is a culture. What problem is it solving? Check this out. Go on, Pete. Go on.
Well, so because we're saying iced Americano, that gets me the most, the ice part. So what I think of in my stupid little ape brain is, oh, ice means it's tackling the heat. So it must have been like a summer thing when it's too hot. But it's not only consumed in the summer, right? That's not a cultural problem they're really solving there. And then I guess, yeah, it's in those cups on the go.
Yeah.
So that's part of maybe like Bali, Korea's culture of moving quickly from place to place, doing thing to thing.
You don't stay in one place. You've got to get up. You've got to get on the subway. Mm-hmm. We know you don't take public transport. But young people, they've got to get up on the subway, on the bus, and get to the lectures, get to the offices.
Yeah.
So they're on the move. Can you drink a hot Americano when you're running? It's too hard to drink, isn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
Right? And so you're on the move, and you need caffeine because you're tired.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Right? You're tired, and you're on the move, and you want to drink something, and you want value for money. This is the problem that young people have today, don't they?
Yeah, that's so, solving that, being overworked, being overtired in Korea. We talk about working late, et cetera,
yep. Yeah, no time to sit down, no time to enjoy it. You've got to go, and you need the caffeine and you need value for money. So why are Korean people all doing that? Is it because all of a sudden they love coffee? No, it's because this iced coffee culture is a solution to a problem. And that's why it's the culture.
That's so interesting because, you know, when I first came to Korea in the 80s and 90s, my auntie was addicted to the brown bottle beverage that looks like a medicine bottle to Brits, right?
Yeah.
And it ends with a ka, starts with a ba.
Yeah.
That is an energy drink, right? That is like predating the bull that is red. Let's call it that energy drink. It used to be around, since I think the 70s. And it comes from like a pharmaceutical company. But it was a boost of like taurine and caffeine and everything. It's, I would argue, more effective than a coffee. It's like a proper brutal boost.
Yeah.
That used to be the thing, right? People would drink that in the office. You'd take around boxes and give them as gifts.
Yeah.
So that, I guess you could argue, used to be what coffee is today, right? Solving the problem of being overtired and things like that. But I wonder why it kind of changed to this. Is it because maybe the younger generation thought, oh, that's a bit old-fashioned, you know? And there's something about holding. I was thinking about this the other day because I took my tumbler into a coffee shop and got it in my tumbler. And I don't know, I just didn't feel as good walking into the studio as I would with a plastic glass with a brand name on it and a straw.
Because it shows you bought one this morning.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a flex.
Yeah, so I feel that must have something to do with it as well. Walking around with that iced coffee in that big cup. I guess youngsters are kind of showing off. Yeah, I bought a coffee today, you know.
What I want you to do, Pete, and the listeners as well, is start thinking about what some people around you are doing. So it's a culture. It's not just one, but people are doing this thing. And then try to think backwards. What problems is that solving?
Yeah.
Now, let's just do a couple more while we're here.
Okay.
So, for example, the hanok, the traditional Korean house.
Yeah.
It's very hot and wet in summer. It's very cold in winter.
Mm-hmm.
Did Koreans build the hanok because of beautiful aesthetic design and that's the way, and it's an embodiment of their han? According to this theory, They built it because it solves the problems of that kind of living in nature.
Yeah.
Now, Korean people don't live in hanoks today.
No.
They live in apartments. Mm-hmm. They live in high sky-rise buildings. Why? Is it because they're better? No, it's because they solve the problem of how you get so many people in Seoul.
Yeah.
It solves a problem. Confucianism is a culture. Confucianism solves a problem. China was distraught by war. It was the Warring States period. Mm-hmm. There was chaos. There was no order. Confucianism comes along and says, I've got the solution. Everybody, go to your right positions, adopt these roles, and there will be order. Just to show you that it's not just Asia, take Christianity.
Uh-huh.
You're in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
People are killing each other.
Uh-huh.
People have many wives. People are eating all this food that makes them sick. I've got an idea. We'll make some rules that will solve these problems of us killing each other, having loads of women and eating food that makes us sick. It solves a problem.
We'll call that a religion, so that's why you've got to kind of abide by it. We'll say it's like a higher power, perhaps.
But the religion itself solves a problem, and that's why it becomes a culture.
Mm.
One more. Let's just do aegyo.
Okay.
Aegyo is this way that girls, you know, act very feminine and cute and innocent.
What problem is that solving?
They didn't have aegyo in the Joseon Dynasty. You know that, right?
Yeah, you never see it in the sagoks, the historical dramas.
Aegyo came around in the 70s, 80s, and 90s because women were entering the workforce and all the managers were men.
Yeah.
And the women need to survive in a very masculine environment and all their bosses are men.
Yeah.
And so they realized by using aegyo, they can navigate the situation. And, and do people use aegyo as much today?
Not so much. Yeah, it kind of died out
because
a bit,
it doesn't solve any problems because your managers might be women.
Oh, yes.
And it's not accepted. And so aegyo arose, nothing to do with Korea.
Mm.
It arose to solve a specific problem.
Wow.
It was a specific solution.
I wonder why, you know, and like you said, every environment is very different. And so the cultures that sprout out from it are very different. And I'm assuming, like, at any point when you've got that problem, like, maybe in the parallel multiverse, there's a different way of solving it, right? There's probably not just one way to solve it.
I think you're right, but the ones that will become cultures are the ones that do solve it. Do you see what I mean? Because there might be all these ideas, but it only becomes a culture if a certain amount of people adopt it. And when I tell my students this, they're like, Professor, what percent? And I'll tell them, like, 75.2. And they look at me and they're like, no, you're joking with us. But some things become culture. But it's because they're effective.
Yeah.
They're there for a reason. Sometimes people just do things for trends. They don't solve any problems. So it might be Okamon bread.
Okay.
Or it might be long paddings or things. And they're not really solving any problems. Uh-huh. They're just a trend.
Okay.
They?
So that's different. That's how we can differentiate.
Between a trend and a culture.
It's not solved a problem.
But cultures, when they, because trends don't last long.
Yeah.
Cultures, when they become embedded and many people do them, culture is a solution to a problem.
Yeah. The reason I brought up that multiverse thing was because I was thinking, surely, right, other countries have that problem of male-dominated workforce and then women come in.
Yeah.
But they didn't all develop aegyo, right?
No.
So it's each country has that slightly different environment or different culture already embedded, which has pushed them away from that direction or this.
Confucianism, patriarchy, all of these different things that are in there.
Curious about Korea?
Then
Arirang Radio.
Are you an Oljuga? Do you have iced Americanos no matter what season?
I normally have a hot one in the morning and a cold one in the afternoon. I normally have a hot Americano in the morning with honey.
Oh, with honey?
Yeah, I put honey in my coffee in the morning.
Interesting.
I normally have it a few hours after I wake up. So if I wake up around 6 or 7,
yeah.
Normally I'm having my coffee around 8 or 9. I'll have one more around 2 o'clock and that's it.
Oh, that's a healthy coffee habit because I drink mine pretty much 30 minutes after waking up. And they say, if you've got a decent night's sleep, you don't need it then, right?
Yeah.
You're alert, so you should wait at least 3 hours, I think the experts say.
Yeah.
I too am a hot Americano man. I think it's my age more than anything making me appreciate the hot coffee. Where to next then, David?
Well, what I want the listeners to do is to keep thinking about culture in your own countries and, you know, let us know or give us some ideas. Can you see elements of what people are doing in your country that you thought it was a culture? You thought it was just part of being French, just part of being Canadian, just part of being American. But it's actually nothing to do with being American or Canadian or French. It's actually to do with solving a specific problem that that environment is creating. Now, let's just do one more before we go to families, and I'll bring it back round to that birth rate, which I want to do. beauty standards. Haemo jisangjui, lookism in Korea is a pretty big thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
You have to look good.
You'll notice that just walking around the streets. When my British friends came here, this was back in 2008.
You got like, friends?
I did back then. I lost them all now. I've been here so long. But they said to me, Pete, like everyone's gorgeous. Like they were mainly looking at the girls because we were single guys at the time.
Yeah.
Like, where are, like, all the unattractive women that I see so often on Watford High Street or something like this? And I was like, yeah, that's one of the things I noticed about Korea. And back then, I wasn't as deep thinking. I just thought, that's brilliant, you know? But there must be a cultural aspect to this. It can't just be the average person looks better when they're born here in Korea, right?
Right. Now, beauty standards are high. Now, this is not the only reason, but let's take this. In the United Kingdom, you see the name written down on a piece of paper, Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yes.
Would you have some inclination as towards that person's social economic class?
Through their name?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely, right. wouldn't you?
Benedict, for sure.
And even if the name was a different name, you might say that person is a little bit lower class, perhaps.
For sure.
And if you heard that person speak in English, would you have some indication of this? You would.
Absolutely. Their accent, their private school accent, or whatever it might be.
What? If you saw the name Park Ji-soo, any idea? You've got no idea.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. What is like an equivalent Kwijok or upper class name? There are no upper class or lower class names,
now,
pretty much.
Korea was a very caste-based society for centuries. Mm. You know, they were demarcated all of a sudden in 1948. Everybody's equal.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, everybody's not equal.
Yeah.
And you can't differentiate class and mobility between names or really accents too much.
Yeah.
And so beauty standards and appearance becomes one way to manifest your class.
Oh, wow.
Because you can't do it other ways, right? Because in Britain, you can just wear a tracksuit. But if you speak like this and your name's Winston Stanley, then people know who you are, irrespective of your clothes.
That's interesting.
That doesn't work in Korea. And so that lookism, not entirely, but it's solving problems of how to differentiate between people when other demarcating factors cannot do it.
Wow. Yeah, I think more towards maybe like the 70s, 80s, when more people were migrating to the capital, Seoul, and accent became a way of distinguishing things. Then people would try and hide their original accents, which was really intriguing, right?
Yeah.
To the birth rate, then.
Yes. Now, in
what problem is that solving? Because, yeah, my mum was born in a time in the 50s, the seventh of seven children.
Ooh,
it's a very different time.
Amazing.
If you fast forward just like 50, 60 years, it's like a birth rate of less than one, right?
It was not common. It was not uncommon for people to be in seven children families.
Not at all.
Like that. That was not everybody. It was not one, but it was a culture.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. So we've got
families.
That level of analysis.
yeah.
In the middle. So it's a culture.
Mm-hmm.
What problem was it solving?
You know, back in the days, I'm guessing even pre-50s and pre-Korean War, like agriculture was a big thing and many children might die as well when they were younger. So you'd have a big family just to make sure you had enough people to work for you or be in your hanok-like community or home.
And because people died and you needed people to work. And so it solved the problem.
Mm.
Now, that many children today doesn't solve a problem. That creates a problem. So just as large families in the past were a culture because they solve problems, now today, young people, they want to survive in society. They want to succeed because that's human nature.
Sure.
Right? But to survive and succeed, they've got to do all these tests, get all these qualifications, get all these certificates. They've got to look good, right? And they've got to work incredibly hard. Now, if they want to do all of this, the solution that they have created is to not get married.
Mm.
The low birth rate, the not getting married, it's not a problem. It's a solution to the problem. Mm. It's a solution to the problem of Korea's very competitive lifestyle. Mm. So when people say, this is a problem, you should think, no. First of all, it's a solution to other problems. If you see the birth rate as the problem, you're missing the actual problems.
Sure. That it's trying to solve. You've got to look at that and then try to maybe alleviate that issue, or I guess get people to pivot to maybe that not being a problem and solving another problem. And I wonder, you know, if this does become a problem, like we hear, you know, in the news, we're not going to afford to pay for our elderly, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
If that does manifest in the maybe taxes going sky high and things, would people then say, okay, I'll have more babies to solve that problem in the way the government is saying, you know, create a workforce.
I bet you it happens.
Yeah.
So this is really important. This is a little bit of a difficult part because it's based on Hegelian and Marxist logic and the dialectic, right? But some things, they're a solution. Mm. They're solving a problem.
Yeah.
But after a while, the solution becomes a problem as well. The ice Americano, which is a solution, has created this problem of all of these cups around the bins.
The environment.
Right? And the environment. And so we have to use paper straws. The solution, it is a genuine solution, but then it also becomes a problem. And then that problem needs another solution. And this is why culture keeps changing, Pete.
Yeah.
This is why people don't wear hanboks, but they wear hoodies and crop tops and sneakers.
Uh-huh.
Culture is always moving. It's fluid. And so this low birth rate, it is a solution to a problem, but now over time, it's also going to become a problem that requires a different solution.
Yeah, so depending on where you are in that timeline, you might come up with a slightly different solution. Maybe the young generation will cotton on and think, okay, we need to have kids. You know, this isn't a good look anymore.
It's not just, you're absolutely correct. I just make this point, last one. It's not just about timelines.
Mm.
This is the conclusion that I come to. It's up to us, because humans are good at solving problems, and especially Korean people.
Yeah.
the politics, the economy, the democratization, they have solved these. Now, it's up to us to see the culture of young people as solutions.
Mm.
We sometimes look at them and we judge them and we gaslight and we see them as problems. You're doing this wrong. You're not doing this.
Uh-huh.
But it's up to us to trust them and see what they're doing and see their culture as solutions, not as problems. And when we do that, then they will start working out their solutions and their problems.
You think you're optimistic about that, that kind of every young generation is doing that, right? Like every time the older generation often looks down at the younger generation saying you should be doing this, not this, blah, 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 maybe being stuck in their ways or too traditional. But you're quite optimistic that we just need to trust in them.
I'm quite optimistic. And I think that the problems are always different. And so the solutions are always different. And that's why there's always, it's not just old people and young people. It's different generations generating different cultures because of different problems. So, ladies and gentlemen, today, culture is a solution to a problem. Look around your home country, see what the culture different people are doing, and try to work out what solutions it's solving. If you find some good ideas, send them in and tell me that my theory is correct. Otherwise, I'm quitting academia.
Well, we are all about Korea's culture on hashtag Daily K. So maybe I should change that tagline and say we're a show dedicated to all the solutions to problems in Korea.
I think we're a solution to some listeners' problems.
I hope so. Fingers crossed. David, we will see you again next Monday. That was a brilliant deep dive. Have a good week.
Love it. Thank you, everybody.
You can listen to Monday's segment Now and Then with David Tizard every Monday from 10 a.m. KST on hashtag Daily K.